Yes, it is that time of the week. It is a Thursday. It's also Halloween. It's only appropriate. The man of many costumes. No, I'm just kidding. Brian Haney, the voice of Jayhawks, with us here on Halloween Day to talk KU football and maybe a little bit of basketball, time permitting. How you doing, man? Y'all ready to trick-or-treat right after the basketball game tonight, Brian, or that'd be too late for you?
Yeah. You know, I usually get home about 10:30 after basketball games, so sure, I'll come knock on your door. How about that? 10:30 at night.
Well, you come down and knock on my door, I'll be probably asleep at 10:30 tonight. I got to get up early.
Probably 1 a.m. by the time I get to where you live. So,
but that's true. Yeah, then don't even bother.
That'd be a trick, not a treat.
Save yourself the gas and everything, and just don't bother with that, because I ain't going to answer the door at 1 a.m., I can guarantee you that. although, if it's Brian, maybe I would. I don't know. We won't have to worry about that, though, because Brian's going to be asleep and counting the sheep, jumping over the fences after a nice football win last weekend. And then, of course, KU is going to play well tonight in an exhibition game and then get ready for the Sunflower Showdown coming up on Saturday between K-State and KU. Let's go back to the football game. Listen, I think it shows progress what KU's done, obviously. And you're down 17-0. How many times in the past have we seen KU down 17-0? No matter who they play, where they play, game over. Come back and then have a chance to win it. And, yes, caught a break when a guy has a brain cramp and decides to pitch the ball for some unforeseen reason. But KU made those breaks, came back, and I just really enjoy teams that are working their way back up the ranks, and KU is one of those teams where I think, as you said for a long time now, going in the right direction.
Yeah, no doubt. And now that preseason prediction of 4-8 certainly seems doable, and even if they don't get there, you know, the fact that you had a Big 12 win over a school that had beaten in 18 years and had only beaten once ever, going back to the Terry Allen era, and you had a major conference road win. I mean, this is already looking like a pretty successful season. But having said that, if they were to then go winless in the month of November, it might take a little shine off of it. So these guys, they're still thinking about bowl games, which I know might sound crazy to some of your listeners, but that's been the goal all along, and they feel like it's very much attainable. And you know, even if they got to 5-7, based on the new rules, if not all bowl slots were filled after the six-win teams were designated, yeah, I think Jeff Long would move mountains to get Kansas into the postseason. So I throw that out there only to say that there's a lot more to play for this Saturday than just bragging rights. And in the minds of our players, even though it was a rough October prior to the Texas Tech game, they've never taken their sights off of those initial preseason goals that Les Miles instilled in them from day one. And so with this newfound offensive confidence and really rejuvenated team and fan base as a result, I think the future's pretty bright, not just the long-term stuff we always talk about, but I think the in-season month of November future could be bright. It's a navigable portion of your schedule where, you know, while a couple of these games look like daunting road trips, all four of the remaining opponents are certainly not beyond your reach. I'm not going to go as far as saying they're in your wheelhouse. I'm not sure what KU's wheelhouse is right now, but none are beyond your reach. And because of that, I think they could absolutely win another couple of games. And Saturday proved that because, as you said, even though they dug the big hole, they showed the mental toughness to climb out of that. They showed some offensive life on the big play. I mean, Stephon Robinson, 48 yards, 53 yards, 65 yards. Then Parchment, a 70-yarder on a 3rd and 21. Coach joked last night, I said, what do you even call when it's 3rd and 21? He said, hey, our playbook begins at 3rd and 21. We got all kinds of plays for 3rd and 21. And sure enough, that one went for 70. And so I think all these guys right now are walking 2 inches taller with their chest puffed out, feeling like, hey, we got a chance to make some real history here. And so don't sleep on them for 1 second. If anything, get out there and support them. We want to see 50,000 strong on Saturday night or Saturday afternoon. It's a capacity of 50,071, to be exact. And I know there'll be a lot of purple there, but is it too bold to expect that we could have 85% of the fan base? I hope so. I hope it's a realistic thing. I hope that's not too bold. But we'll see come Saturday afternoon in what is the most anticipated Dylan Sunflower show in over a decade.
Well, my boy Max, he's a big Jayhawk fan, listens to the show all the time, listens to when you're on, and he, before the season, texted me and said, call me crazy, KU's going 7-5. Well, if they win out, they'll be 7-5. That seems to be a little bit lofty. I thought it was too, but he's a guy that believes in Les Miles and what they're going to do at KU. I don't know if he was joking somewhat or if he was serious about it, but you did mention the next four games. I mean, OU and Texas are already off the schedule. So, you know, if you can beat Texas Tech, you know, you beat Kansas State, who just beat Oklahoma, why can't you win the rest of your games? Of course, the way this Big 12 is, you could easily lose the rest of them. Or are you a combination of a couple wins, a couple losses? But this matchup coming up on Saturday is fascinating to me because Kansas State's coming off the emotional high of beating Oklahoma, and what an impressive win that was by Kansas State. Nobody saw that coming. And then, and both teams are down early, too. You would have probably said before the game, we got to get off to a great start. Your K-State or KU, got to get off to a great start. Well, they dug themselves two score deficits, and they both came back and won. And at one point, K-State outscored Oklahoma 41-6, which is just absolutely absurd when it comes to teams playing Oklahoma. They ran the ball effectively, and they won somewhat comfortably. Got a little dicey at the end with an onside kick, but still K-State was in control for a good portion, especially in the second half. The question for me, and for you too, I guess, is what about those emotional highs and handling success? We saw KU beat Towson College, turn around, they lost to a West Virginia team that's been struggling this year. K-State won against Mississippi State, had 2 weeks off, and then lost their first two games in the Big 12. It almost seems to me like the first team that comes off of cloud nine and gets refocused and ready to go this Saturday might have a big advantage.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I think it obviously helps Kansas, the K-State, just had this monumental win, because if there was any possibility of us being fat and happy and thinking, oh, we got this, that's out the window when they just knocked off a top five team. And, you know, clearly the fact that Kansas lost in a narrow one a year ago still sticks in the minds of some of their players. I was talking with Clyde McCauley for a podcast that will be up later today, and if you doubt for a second how much our guys care, how much they just absolutely lay it all on the line for every single game, and losses stick with them a full year later, he was talking about two phantom holding penalties that, to be honest with you, I hadn't thought about in 11 and a half months, and he just brings it up. He's like, well, you know, one of those calls was just terrible, and I've been thinking about that every day for the last year. Back to last year's Dylan Sunflower Showdown. That's how much it means to these guys. And he's not even a Kansas kid. He's from Texas. But this rivalry game means so much. And they've come close. And they realize that, man, it's been 10 years since Kansas has beaten Kansas State. More than that, really, because it's been 10 straight wins for K-State. And so this means a ton. You didn't need a whole lot of extra momentum. But the fact that the Cats are riding in real high after a top five victory, I think, has KU's attention all the more. And so I think Kansas uses the confidence boost of last week's win over Texas Tech, you know, to make them feel even stronger. But it's nothing that's going to have them overinflated, fat and happy, or anything like that, because they realize Cats did something that turned everyone's heads across the nation, not just the Big 12 attention that KU got. And I think that clearly has the Hawks dialed in and ready to go for Saturday afternoon.
Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Millen Boulevard, or give them a call at 738-5701. What I find intriguing, and this is why we need to stop with, and it's going to happen, we know, the knee-jerk reactions from one game to the next. That's just how fanatics and fans are. We get it. Even some of the media pundits are this way. You know, you look back, and if you would have told somebody after the loss to Coastal Carolina that KU is going to put up two games back-to-back over 500 yards of offense, and Carter Stanley is going to throw for 415 and win over Texas Tech, and KU is going to go to Austin and put up 48 points, everybody had been calling you crazy. You've been drinking too much Kool-Aid. If you had told K-State fans after the way they looked against Oklahoma State and Baylor that they're going to put up 48 on Oklahoma and have 213 yards rushing and 213 yards passing and be able to run the ball all over Oklahoma after they couldn't run the ball against TCU, people would have said you've been drinking too much Kool-Aid. What I love about sports is that as we progress, and we hear coaches say this, and I know it seems boring, but it's one day at a time, 1 week at a time. It's all about progress, and many coaches will tell you, even after a loss sometimes, you know what, I'm seeing improvement. We're making progress. Both these teams have done that, and thus makes for a fascinating matchup on Saturday, doesn't it?
No doubt. And I think for Kansas in particular, to see how much progress in two short weeks of time under Brent Dierman, I mean, we're talking about yardage totals night and day different. We're talking about scoring totals night and day different. They're averaging 545 yards per game under Dierman in 2 weeks. And if you look at the third down conversions and the fourth down conversions, they go 65% on third and fourth downs these last 2 weeks. I think it was 10 of 19 on third down and 2 for 2 on fourth down at Texas, and then 9 of 15 this past week on third down. I don't remember the fourth down total, but I mean, it's been just a snap of the finger like that overnight, and suddenly they're competing in all these offensive categories that were lacking. And maybe you saw glimpses, but no sustained consistency, no continuity. Yeah, Boston College was fun, and a lot of that was the RPOs and Gearman. But then you remember the three-quarter scoring droughts of the Coastal Carolina game or the TCU game, and none of that's happening now. So that's been great to see. And now, while the defense has struggled a little bit with some personnel losses, you feel like a healthy, motivated, and refreshed Bryce Tornaden, who watched the last 3.5 quarters of the Texas Tech game, he's going to come back, a Kansas kid, in his final Dylan Sunflower showdown, and absolutely come out guns a blazing in this one as the defensive captain and heart and soul of that side of the ball. So I'm pumped to think about the progress and what it's led to for KU and what hopefully it continues to build on for this week.
All right, so what when you look at Kansas State, certainly impressive what they did against Oklahoma and KU coming back against Texas Tech. But from a KU perspective, and talking to the coaches this week, what's something that stands out in regards to Kansas State that could concern KU going into this game on Saturday?
Well, it's interesting. I'm finding it hard to believe they've been so good defensively with just 4 passing touchdowns allowed in 7 games. That's uncanny to be over halfway through the season and they're having that type of success in the secondary. And, you know, you look at what Hubert does to rush the passer. You look at what they can do in ball control offense with a dual threat quarterback and 2 really capable running backs. I mean, they've got all the ingredients for a possess the ball, control the clock, keep you out of the end zone, build a couple score lead, and then force you to try and sling it on us with our, you know, bend but don't break defense. And that's, you know, a huge reason why they've enjoyed the success they have. So I'm intrigued to see what this upstart Kansas, you know, flying around the field, chucking it around with explosive plays type offense does against the K-State defense that has certainly held the door strong, very strong in the secondary this season.
All right, so we had Wyatt Thompson, voice of K-State, on yesterday. We try to do this. We get the voice of each of the schools when the Sunflower Showdown is happening the week of. And I'm not going to ask you the question because I didn't ask Wyatt the question either. And that was, who do you think is going to win? I know you're going to pick KU. I know Wyatt's going to pick K-State. What I want to ask you, though, is there's one area that you're looking at before the game. And give me something that must happen for KU, in your opinion, for KU to pull off the win. And it would be an upset because K-State is favored going into Lawrence. What's one big thing you're looking at that has to go in KU's favor, in your opinion, to pull off the win?
Wow, great question. I don't know that a fast start has to happen, but as I said, these guys are tough to play from behind against, more so than Tech would have been, because Tech runs tempo, but they run tempo on quick runs and throws to the edges, which, you know, honestly, if those plays aren't hitting, you can get the offense off the field pretty fast and get your offense back out there. K-State, if you build a 2 or 3 score deficit with them, as well as they can run it, possess it, I think Kansas would be in a world of hurt. The other thing that K-State does so well, again, I'm not saying this has to happen the way you phrased it, but it would be huge if it did happen. You know, you look at, what's the number now, 114 non-offensive touchdowns they've had going back to the Bill Snyder era, the present day. And that's ridiculous, you know. And if you could keep them from getting their token special teams and defensive score and actually get one yourself, not that they count on getting one every game, but it seems like they're so good at coming up with those in the big game. If you could be the team that gets one and make sure they don't, I mean, I'm not going to say it's a 14-point swing, but it might be like a 10-ish point swing if Kansas is the one capitalizing. And obviously, KU special teams has left a little bit to be desired of late. KU defense, you know, being a little bit beat up, hasn't quite had the takeaway totals that we saw a year ago. But on your home field, beating off your home crowd, if they could be the one that chip in that extra score from the other two phases of the game, what a swing that might be for KU.
Well, and if I remember correctly, I'm getting older, but I remember that game last year. special teams really, really killed KU in that game against Kansas State. So that's a very good observation on your part in regards to that. It'll be a great game. We're looking forward to it on Saturday. You can hear it on Z96.3 late kickoff at 2:30. Real quickly, I have to ask you, because we won't talk to you until after this game is played. KU has a exhibition game tonight against Pitt State. Not worried about that one. Tuesday, they play Duke. Kansas Duke, that just gets everybody going, wow, that should be a great game. When you look ahead to that game so early in the season, what are you looking for in that matchup?
Well, I'm hopeful we'll have Isaiah Moss back, but I don't know that we will, with his lingering hamstring issues. And so with his ability to stretch the defense because of his three-point prowess, and what would mean that they have to come all the way out and not clamp down on a couple of bigs and clog the lane, I think that would be huge, because Duke clearly has the athleticism, you know, and the length to make things tougher on Doak and Silvio, or Doak and David, which is going to be the starting lineup combination tonight, by the way. Mm-hmm. Coach mentioned that on Hawk Talk on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So I hope they have that three-point perimeter presence, but I don't know if they will. And if they don't, you know, it's going to take some of these freshmen stepping up and stretching the defense. It's going to take Devon Dotson, who will get to see make his debut tonight. But that's a bigger individual factor, you know, in terms of individual player, than what folks realize or give it credit for, because most Kansas fans, you know, haven't seen him yet. He didn't play it late night. He played the other night. But this is a guy that, you know, can fill it up as good as anybody. And quite frankly, in a matchup like that, you need a floor stretcher. And not that they don't have other ones with Ochai and you know, potentially on any given night you could hit a three or two from Inaruna, Wilson, Brown, the three scholarship freshmen, but this is really your marksman. And so that's something where I'll have my focus and eyes on in practices that lead up to next Tuesday. And if for some reason he can't go, then, you know, you're going to have to find a way to space the floor, let Devon Dotson break it down off the bounce. I think that, you know, this is a matchup he's made for. Madison Square Garden, Duke, Kansas, two blue bloods. I think Dotson is our MVP, even though Doak's the preseason Big 12 player of the year. And I can't wait to see what it looks like. Because the last time we played these guys inside MSG, we had a pretty good point guard.
Yeah.
We hit the game winner with 4 seconds to go. And I'm not saying it's going to come down to that with Devon, but I can't wait to see how he handles it. Excited to see him shake off the rust a little bit tonight. This last week with the ankle injury.
That'll be fun. Lots going on with KU Athletics, no question. Time for the off-the-wall question for you, Brian. Halloween is today. Scariest or spookiest moment you have ever dealt with, whether it be a funny moment or a serious moment?
Wow, that's crazy. I don't know if this is like, usually you're always like such a positive end of the show, end of the interview type question.
Yeah.
It's usually funny and all that, but I had a situation happen to me when I was 12 or 13. I was on vacation with my family, and were it not for my grandmother hearing my screams, who knows what would have happened. I had a guy actually try to trap me in a bathroom. Uh-huh. At a, it wasn't a convenience store, what do you call it, a strip mall.
Uh-huh.
We don't have as many of those anymore. It was at a strip mall. We were on vacation, and this guy and another guy was hiding in the bushes. Basically tried to kidnap and God knows what they would have done.
Oh my
God. My 70-year-old grandma heard me yelling for help and running after him, and she shooed those two grown men away.
Wow.
So God rest her soul. She's my angel. She was then and is today. And that's probably the scariest thing. And that's a really downer of an answer, but the first thing that pops in my head when you said scariest thing that ever happened to you.
Well, I
will say this, to end on an uptick. It's going to come out on social media later today if it isn't already, but KU basketball, and specifically Fred Cordelbaum, who we call Coach Q, played a prank on the team yesterday. If anybody entering into the locker room area where they had these Adidas mannequins, okay,
uh-huh.
And the mannequins are like jet black, you know, their faces, arms, whatever, and then they're dressed in Adidas clothes. And they had them like in a semicircle where you enter into the locker room area, which is like this circular huddle up area the team has, and the fourth mannequin was not a mannequin but rather Coach Q. And he had like I don't know, like spandex, like, what do you wear when you rob houses on the weekend? You know what I'm talking about? One of these like spandex type things covering his face, his arms, everything. And then he was dressed just like a mannequin, and so the guys put in their fingerprint code to enter the secure locker room area. They walk in, they see the mannequins, and all of a sudden he jumps out.
Yeah.
And they try to get me, but I was way too smart. Because, you know, I could see him breathing.
Sure.
I could see the spandex contract and expand with his breath. And I'm like, I thought it was a robot at first. Because I saw the subtle movement. And then he tried to jump at me, and I was like, I got this. But apparently, Jarrett Howard, our assistant coach, and Yudoka Azubuike, our All-American center, I've not seen their reaction, but I'm told they lost. So look for that on social media later today on the KU Hoops Twitter account. They'll be compiling the best reactions. I doubt mine will be on there because I kind of played it cool, you know. But you got to see these other guys because they apparently did not. And what a great Halloween prank. It shows you the fun our staff and our kids like to have in the midst of getting set for big-time basketball like Duke.
Oh, my. Now, that's a better story. That is a better story. But they're both good stories. One, your grandma took care of you, and the second story is nobody died from being scared to death. So I like it.
I should have just given you that one. But, you know, these off-the-wall questions are also on-the-spot questions.
Yes, they are. We don't rehearse them. That's true.
You have to come up with something fast, and those are the first two things that popped in my head.
Before we let you go, I know you follow the Royals a little bit. This is just announced. The Royals have named their new manager. It'll be Mike Matheny. That's the new manager of the Kansas City Royals, former St. Louis Cardinal manager, for all those listening on the ticket, and if you're interested in that. So, interesting news there.
I didn't follow that real closely, but that seemed to be the only name I heard from anywhere. So,
yeah.
No huge surprise. That's great. I've heard good things about his leadership, not just as a manager, but as a human being, integrity, character, good dude, good values. So, excited to see him come to Kansas City and make that I-70 trek west.
Yeah. As with any hire, you got to let it play out and see how it goes, whether you're for it or against it. Hey, man, have great fun on Halloween here tonight calling basketball. Have fun on Saturday with the football, and then you're going to have the great game between Kansas and Duke. We'll recap it all with you next week, buddy.
Sounds good. I'm going to ring your doorbell at 1 a.m. so have that Snicker bar ready for me.
Oh, okay, I will. I'll have it out front. take care, man. Brian Hay, the voice of the Jayhawks, who apparently is going to wake me up at 1 a.m. and drive all the way from Lawrence. Something tells me he's not going to do that.